Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to this talk, Relax and Recover Automated Testing. First of all, are there Relax and Recover users over here? Some of them? So, not yet. Hope I will convince you after this talk. So, it's always good. This is the agenda that I will go over today. I'll introduce myself. We'll give a short introduction into what is Relax and Recover. And of course, the main topic will be the automating testing, followed by a demonstration. So it's always nicer to see it than just to have to play slides. The slides, anyhow, will be available on the Froscom site and will contain also the more or less the automated testing step by step, so that at least you have some feeling of what the automated testing is. And of course, you can do it yourself because it's open source. But I come back to that later. First of all, where am I? I'm already an old guy who is a very long time in the Unix and also in Linux from the 90s. I think I was one of the first in Belgium that was using Linux. And I've been in Rear from 2006, but before Rear there was a Make-Cdrum Recovery. Maybe some people have heard of that. That was the previous project that came before Relax and Recover. That was also a Linux disaster recovery project. And I have some other projects, of course, but you can find it on my GitHub page and on my website. Okay, disaster recovery. So there's some basics. It's a very short basic introduction. It is about you lost your hardware by fire, a crash, whatever. It can be also a virus attack, for example, some guys. Anything that disturbs your business is can be in a categorized of a disaster. Furthermore, you also have a business continuity that's going much farther, it's much broader. It is about your business as out of business, way of speaking, and then you have to build up your data center, your telecommunications, you have big plans around it, and disaster recovery is only a small tiny part of it. So to differentiate what is disaster recovery, for techies like us, it's more like our computer or data center, our key components like a database server, mail server, to restore that as soon as possible. But business continuity is about the business, and the business is always central because that's the one who pays our check at the end of the month. Okay. So that is the last picture about business continuity, and that is where you can see very clearly that Relax and Recovery really fits. It's in the recovery part of it. But you have a lot of steps in business continuity. Sometimes I give a talk about business continuity itself, which is also a very interesting topic to talk about. And it is something that is never stops because your business is changing. Always, you introduce new tools, new business plans, new integration of new buy-ins and buy-outs and whatever. So it always changes, so you always have to rehearse, rethink, and re-exercise. Also true for your disaster recovery. You have to make exercises. Don't blindly trust that the tool like Relax and Recover will work out of the box without testing. Okay, very important to remember, testing. Okay, that is something I probably don't have to explain to you, what is disaster recovery. It's not a question, can it happen? It's just a question, when will it happen? And it does happen to everybody of us. It does happen to me. Even I'm an expert to it, so always have backup plans ready. You can make your life easier by having a good inventory of your hardware, for example, of your software. Central database, whatever, that categorize everything and make plans of it, what is there. Because when you lose it and you have no clue what is in your business, because your business can be worldwide, can be hundreds of different smaller sites, if you lose one of those sites and you have no clue what's in it, okay, that's very difficult to rebuild. So you have to make plans of that. But Relax and Recover can help you with a tiny part, your computer part, of, in this case, Linux only, But it does cover different architectures. It does cover a PowerPC, Intel, even Itanium, still possible. All right, let's continue. Still frequently, people tell to me I have a very good backup solution, and that's enough for me. It's only good for your data. It's not good for your overall business to be online again. So it has to be smaller very quickly. And this is maybe the best light to explain to your management why backups are not enough. Backups are good for your data, but to do a data recovery from scratch, then you have some good other tools needed for doing that. And Relax and Recover is really fitting in that piece. It can shrink your recover time very drastically. As you can see, if you do it from the first line, you have the OS that you have to reinstall. That takes time. Indeed, you can tell me you are using the cloud, but even in the cloud, you can lose your conference management tools, because conference management does not cover everything, because I'm daily using it. So there's still gaps in it that you don't cover with configuration management, that you forget about it, that's not ready yet. So therefore, Relax and Recover can help you to have your OS and everything that's in it, your configuration, your operating system can be covered with that. And to restore that is much, much easier and much faster at the end, even with configuration management. And we do practice it on the companies that I work for. So I hope that I make myself clear that Relax and Recover is about disaster recovery of your Linux operating system. And basically, the tool itself is completely written in the Bash language. Why we chose Bash? Because every Linux system administrator is supposed to understand and use Bash. And that in practice that is true, so we chose Bash. It's a very modular system. That means that you can write a very tiny script and put it somewhere in the tree, and it will be picked up automatically. So there's nothing that you have to do, especially you don't have to dig very deep in all the sources. If you know the concept of Relax and Recover, it can be used for to add something yourself. By the way, I have several other open source projects which are based on the framework. And the framework that we used was initially created by Shlomo Shapiro, which is my colleague from Berlin. And that is still used in Rear and other projects as well. So it's not only dedicated for Rear, but it is so easy to plug in something in there. And Rear is meant that you configure it on your system, or your systems, if they are similar, and you install it, configure it, test it, and you forget about it. And on a weekly basis, you can have a new snapshot of your system disk, and you're good to go. Furthermore, it integrates with many, many different backup solutions. So the basic Rear, as it was created in the beginning, it was in fact using tar, and make the tar of your operating system and put it somewhere on an NFS file system. And when you need it, you can boot from the ISO and you could restore it from that point in time. But furthermore, in time, we also did integrations in many open source backup solutions, but also commercial solutions like Tivoli from IBM, EMC Networker, Data Protector, and Barrios is in there, Bacula is there, and many others that I forget about. But okay, it makes it easy. So the main point of Relax Recovery is to make your task for disaster recovery as easy as possible, and design it in that way that it can be configured in a flexible way that fits your needs. All right, maybe it sounds maybe simple, but okay. How does it work? Of course, your operating system consists out of disks. So the basic thing is that it has to make an layout, save the layout of your disk environment, your logical volumes, your mirror disk, your hardware RAIDs, software RAIDs, whatever. and all your file systems, how it is labeled, is all written into a configuration file, and that is kept on your live system, but also on your recovery system. And also the bootloaders that you're using, we know the major bootloaders that are in use. And furthermore, then it stores the files if you requested for it. If you use, say, an external commercial backup solution, then it only stores your basic system layout. And when you restore it, it recreates the disks and then restore from the backup. And that's part of the integration. And also, very important, create the bootloader, the boot system that you use to recover from it. And all that can be done and is done online. So there is no offline thing needed. It's all, you can just install it on production system, configure it, and it will work. Never use it on production system without prior testing in a development environment, of course, similar to your production. Okay. Never trust the tool as such. Even I say it's a good tool, but never trust it. Always test it. The recovery, basically, the recovery system can be made on an ISO environment. It can be on a network via Pixie booting, or it can be on a USB disk. That are the three main recovery possibilities that are in practice today. Besides the recovery operating system, which is in fact from your live operating system, it's the same kernel that we're using, so that's always nice. We copy a lot of other tools that you may require to do some rescue environment. You can use the rescue image to do file systems and repairs, for example, not only to recreate everything from scratch. That's not always the needed, but okay. So therefore, we copy a lot of tools. And everything, your complete operating system or rescue operating system is in RAM. So you never touch your live disk unless you decide to do it, to do a recover. Then, of course, your live disks will be overwritten. So this is a graphical overview of the backup flow and output flow. If you look in the configuration files of Relax and Recover, you will see a backup definition and an output definition. The output definition is for the rescue image. So where you want your rescue image to be. Do you want it to be an ISO and the location where you want to store it? And a backup is a fact about your operating system. If you do a backup, NetFS is the main default one. That's for the TAR or the RSync internally. But if you want to, for example, using TVLU backup, then you define backup equals DSM, for example, or DP for data protector. Then you're saying to the rear, okay, your data of your operating system is in an other backup solution. So we don't use the internal one, and the internal one is effect TAR or RSync. So that is the main differences. And in backup, you see the internal is TAR RSync, and the external ones can be any kind of open source or commercial backup solution. It also integrates, for example, with Duplicity. This is also a nice cloud backup solution. The uses of rear, you have in fact three main parts. You have the make rescue, that's to make your rescue image only, not backup, only the rescue image. That's its effect. If you're using an integrated with a commercial or an open source backup solution, you only requires a make rescue because you don't need to make backup, because make backup is meaningless at that point. Make backup is meaningful if you're using an internal backup solution like TAR, RSync, whatever. You can also run make backup only. There are many others, but I would say make backup and the recover are the two main options within rear to do. One in make backup is to make a rescue image including the backup, and the recover is effect if you have a crash and you want to recover from the backup that was made prior. And as already said before, you can easily integrate it with, for example, config to HTML, which I find quite handy to have a configuration management overview in text or HTML. included on the ISO, USB, or on the network environment. So you can always look what was the configuration of my system before I need to restore. Also very handy if you want to do cloning, for example, because Rear can be used for cloning systems, and it is used for cloning systems at a lot of corporations. So you want to get started. These are the main pointers to the website, also to the RPM snapshot, because we have a daily build of Rear with the OpenSUSE build services. This is a very helpful tool that OpenSUSE and SUSE provides to the developers. So anything that we, once we do a check in into our Git repository, then my server will detect it on a nightly basis and will automatically rebuild and push it to the OpenSUSE build service. So, and the next day you have it available, or a few minutes later, on the different architectures for Debian, Ubuntu, Fedora, RHEL, CentOS, etc., etc. Furthermore, the official source is on GitHub, like I mentioned already. Also, the issues are there. If you have an issue with it, you can report it over there. And maybe you know it or you don't know it. Rear has been added to the base operating system of Red Hat. So you will find in the 7.3.7.4 still the Rear version 172 with, I think it's the ninth subversion that they created with bug fixes that were in our issues. But in the 7.4 that has been released in beginning of August this month, it's rebased to the Rear version 2.0. And that is a major step from the Rear 1 versions to the 2, because we did a renumbering, and also a lot of new features and stability was included in Rear. So if you're still using a Rear 1 version, it's better to go to the Rear 2, because it's more stable, it's much more tested, also with the automated testing, for example. But okay, just want to say it's in the official repositories of Red Hat, and also Slash has the more or less official repositories in their thing. One of our main developers is also working for Slash, and for SUSE, so that helps, of course. Right, and coming to the topic of today, in fact, is testing Rear. Because Rear is already more than 10 years old, and in the beginning we were using physical hardware, a lot of virtual machines to test it, but it's very cumbersome because you have made some modifications, we get new features from users who want to integrate their backup solution, for example, to give an example. And we have to blindly trust that it works. And of course, we are all developers and nobody is perfect. I'm also not perfect, of course. We make mistakes, and sometimes mistakes are integrated or checked in automatically without being tested properly. And it's in fact almost impossible to test everything, because like I said in the beginning, Rear is working mainly built for Intel, but now the IBM is pushing hard. One of the developers is also now from IBM for the PPC and PPCLE 4.6 environment. So it's growing fast in that community. Of course, I don't have any PPC system at home, so it's for me difficult to test on that kind of hardware. So therefore, this environment was also built, and IBM is also trying to integrate Rear automated testing to test their new features in it. So it's just too broad to test everything. We do our best to test the basic stuff. The internal backup solution is tested. I can test the ISO, I can test the Pixie booting. So that's convenient. And also, for example, for Barrios, if our Barrios users in here, that's the open source backup solution. That's the integration. They asked me to help them to do the integration testing with Barrios. And that's also done with the automated testing tools. Like I said, it will be a challenge to test everything, but we try to do our best. Rear automated testing, in fact, is an open source project, make it very clear, but it was initially written for a customer who paid for it. So because I'm doing more than 20 years open source projects for free, and I still have to live as an independent consultant, so it's nice to get paid sometimes. So doing the automated testing is kind of finding a balance between continuous integration and automated testing, which is not easy. If people here are in DevOps environment, that they probably know, it's always a battle, and even here it's a battle. But like I already mentioned, the OpenSUSE build service is a very good first step, because that provides me with an automated way of building the RPMs, and they are available, which is nice. So I don't have to do it myself every day for different platforms, which is good. It helps for developers, and we do get feedback from a lot of developers. It's on operating systems which I do not have or do not use, and they come back with feature enhancements, with bug fixes, and also with bug supports. And we do have developers which are came helping us and left, and we have a few developers who are staying already on board for several years, which is nice. We have now 5 key developers in our team, which is good. Like I said, from SUSE, we have a very good one. From IBM, we have Shlomo Shapir, myself, and we have also a guy from HPE, from Slovenia, who's also a very excellent person, which you know, helping us. We had some previous very good ones, which are now left the team, but still in the background sometimes, but okay. That's open source. It's coming and going. And we are always lucky to have some good people on board, and if they lose their focus and do something else, that's fine. Okay. No hard feelings. We are glad with all the help that we can get. Support is done via the main channel is GitHub, the issues. There's a lot of free support, as I said, but you can also have commercial support via my company. All right, the automated testing. We are coming closer to the demonstration, that's good. So it was initially written for the customers who have a support contract or a subscription contract. And currently, the first time that I talked about the automated testing was at FOSDEM beginning this year. And then I only had it for CentOS 7 and on the Libvirt. So I gave a demonstration with my Linux laptop with Libvirt, KVM Libvirt. But now, we have Ubuntu, and to have it more convenient, also integrated into the Oracle VirtualBox. And I will give a demonstration with my Mac, just to prove that it works on a non-native Linux system as well. So I have a different operating systems at home. I have using it on Linux, so on KVM Linux with Oracle VirtualBox, but here it will using my Mac system, just to prove it. The next slide will show you the overview of the setup, but the virtual machines that I use are provisioned automatically with Ansible. In February this year at FOSDEM, it was still using a script, and I also gave a talk at CeBIT, and then somebody in the audience talked to me and said, well, why don't you do it with Ansible or something else? I said, that's a very good idea, because I'm now also on DevOps, and it was a good exercise for myself to dig into Ansible and to do the complete provisioning of the virtual machines. That means, what do I do? The operating system is a box, okay, so that is not needed. Updating it, installing Rear, of course, all the dependencies of Rear will be installed automatically. But for example, if I'm using Barrios as an integration test, I have to install Barrios. On the server side, I have to configure it. It has to become a Barrios server, and the client has to be configured. So these things are all automatically done. And it's done for Ubuntu as well, because there are always, between the different versions, different dependencies. It's a bit awkward, but it's that's life, of course. So that's all covered by Ansible. And this demonstration, I will not do the provision from scratch, because that will take 10 minutes. I will just demonstrate the automated testing itself. But if there's time enough, later on, I can always show you that provisioning is working with Ansible. So in this setup, what it will do is automatically, it will launch a client and a server virtual machine. It will automatically create a disaster recovery image from the client, make a backup to the server. If I'm using Oracle Virtual Machines, VirtualBox in this case, that means booting needs to be done from the host system. If I'm using, for example, KVM LiveVirt, I can boot from my server VM, which is not possible from VirtualBox, but that's a limitation of VirtualBox. Well, doesn't mean, it's just a different way of starting up your recovery image. But that means that the client will, in this case, this demonstration will be using the internal network, NetFS solution, and I'm using TAR to make a backup of my client system to the server VM. But the same can be done with Barrios. If time needs, persist, I can always demonstrate it. In this case, I will boot via Pixie, but can also boot via ISO. Once the backup is completely made, I will stop the client VM and automatically start the recover VM. The recover VM will automatically do a restore from scratch. It will recreate your disk layout, restore everything from scratch. When that is done, it will reboot and your client VM will be online again. So that's the basically of automated testing. This is the graphical overview. On the top side, you will see the host system. And I call it the Vagrant host, because Vagrant is used to drive everything. And on the left side, you see the client, in the middle the server, and there the recover VM. So there are three VMs created. The client and the server are already provisioned. I did it on front, so they are containing everything. But okay, that every time that I start the automated testing system, I do not reprovision everything for the same operating system. If I want to use CentOS and it's provisioned, and I want to test a new version of my relax and recover version, I do not to reinstall the operating system from scratch. That's not needed. I just have to update the relax and recover version effect and restart the backup and that. So the reprovisioning is not required every time. It's only required when I want to switch from CentOS to Ubuntu, because that's kind of logically. You can destroy your box and recreate it automatically. That's done automatically, so different ways. So you have an internal network. It's the 33 network, which I'm using to do the backup internally between the VMs. And you also have an external network, an DHCP network, which I can talk to the internet. If you want to download the latest relax and recover version from OpenSUSE build services, it's going through the internet to download it. And you will see it in demonstration, all right? And to boot, to recover, with Pixie, it boots from the hypervisor. If I'm using LiveVirt, it's going that way. So that's the difference between KVM LiveVirt and the VirtualBox situation. This Mac system is using the VirtualBox, so I'm booting from the hypervisor, but okay, you don't see the difference effect. And that's all covered by the script of the automated testing. It's also a script, automated testing. It's in Bash, written in Bash. It's open source. You can find it. I will show you the pointer later. But to test the environment, I'm using Vagrant. That's the main feature. Vagrant and VirtualBox of KVM. If you're using KVM, then you also need the LiveVirt plugin. And Git is also required to download the latest version of the automated testing software and to clone the Vagrant files, because the Vagrant files are included in the project. I can show you, I will demonstrate it anyhow. So to conclude before I dig into the demonstration, so it's open source. So everybody can use it, test it out, and give feedback to me or to the project. What is missing, maybe prefixes, whatever. It's always welcome. New code is written only for customers, in fact. That's not doing it for free, unless it's a serious bug, of course. You can clone it. This is the address. And you just have to go into the directory and you type -h for the help. And the rear automated tests is the main script. There's only one script effect, and the rest is Ansible playbooks. By default, you can use the vagrant user to log in. You can also use the root user to log in, and the password for both is vagrant. That's also auto-provisioned by the Ansible scripts, playbooks, recipes, whatever. As said, there are different ways to log in. You can use the vagrant subsystem to log in to your VMs, or you can use secure shell, or even you can use VNC, or it's a VirtualBox, you can use the console of the VirtualBox, of course. By default, there are also three ports generated, that's for VNC, that you can connect to the client, server, or the recover virtual machine. Right, you want to try it yourself? That's in fact, minus P is the provisioner. If you're using KVM libvirt, then you have to give libvirt. If you're using VirtualBox, the default is VirtualBox, then you don't have to give any option at all. All right. There is also a testing part, but the testing part which is existing today is in fact a donation from Red Hat using BeakerLib. And these scripts are written in a BeakerLib language, in fact. They're using that tool, in fact, the Red Hat testing system was their main system, BeakerLib, to test internally the stability of Relax and Recover, and that is still used at Red Hat. But as we are using more and more the automated testing system for other operating systems, vendors like Debian, Ubuntu, SLES, so I'm thinking very hard to replace these scripts by another system like a BAS automated testing system. But that's for later. I can demonstrate it, it's working. Because Red Hat is using it, and it's integrated in this tool with the minus T option. Well, it proves effect the stability effect of your OS, whatever you want to test. And now the most important stuff. We give a demonstration. Is it visible? Have to go up a bit, maybe. All right, here you can see the main script. It's over here. The minus H is the help effect. And it shows you different options like the minus D, which is the distribution. The default is CentOS 7, and that was the first customer who asked for it. But now there are two others like the Ubuntu 14 and Ubuntu 16. You just have to mention it. If you want to know, how do I know? Just do an LS, and you will see here the Ubuntu. These are the effect operating systems. This is the CentOS, and these are the test scripts. These are the internal real scripts. These are the test stuff, and the templates is effect the. It's always interesting to look at it. These are the configuration files which are used internally for rear testing rear. You can see. This is the ISO booting with NetFS, NFS. This is Pixie booting with URL type. This is the default, and that is for BIOS. BIOS dev names is for the Ubuntu, and this is with ISO for CentOS. That will change in one of the upcoming rear versions. I will do auto detection of BIOS dev names. But okay, going too deep maybe, that's if you're using SAP or this kind of hardware, then most of the time you're using BIOS dev names. It's not Ethernet Zero, but it's the real physical hardware names that you will see. And in this case, Ubuntu was using the physical hardware, and in the recovery it was the aliases effect, so it was a bit awkward. So I made a different configuration file for it, but okay, doesn't matter. Right, for this test, we will be using, let's see, still have time, yes. We will be using CentOS 7, so that's the default. We're using Pixie, it's also the default. VirtualBox is the default, so I don't have to give any parameter here. I can just launch it. Let's launch it. So it tells me CentOS 7, we'll start up Vagrant, the providers, and then it's checking the client. It tells me there's already an update for the box itself. But okay, that's if I have to do box inload for that. But so that's also useful to replace the box. And if you have a new box, then I have to do a reprovisioning, of course. But anyhow, doesn't matter for the moment. It will start up the client. It will start up the server. Very soon, you will see the server coming up. There is the server. Again, the same kind of text will appearing. So this is pure Vagrant. Vagrant is driving the startup of your boxes, and it's using internally in the backend VirtualBox. Okay. I always find it nicer to demonstrate something, and then it's easier to understand the complete picture. So now, yep, the client and the server are online. Just 5 seconds delay, just if I want to, was mistaken, Control-C. If you do it now, it will destroy the boxes. And if the boxes are destroyed, then you have to do a reprovisioning. And then that takes more than 10 minutes. So hands off. Check if the networks are online. That ping test is OK. That means that the client and server can talk to each other. Of course, if you want to backup. Here it sees. Yeah, it's already in your rear. Uploaded. It goes very fast. Sorry for that. This is the configuration file that this is being used. That is coming from the templates. It's copied automatically. Every time that you start, it's automatically recopied to the client. And it's already making a backup. And you can see here, it's the version from the 7th of August that is being used, Relax and Recover. It's making a snapshot of your bootloader file systems. And now it's already making a backup to the client environment, which is in this case automatically, because it's designed and sits that the backup is going to the TFTP area of your virtual hypervisor effect. You have to do nothing for it. It is built into the tool that it knows which kind of hypervisor is being used. That takes only a few minutes. Is there something more interesting to know? Maybe here, automatically add the kernel options with the net.if names equals zero. That is for using the alias names. So to disable the BIOS dev names. This is convenient because last year I gave a workshop at the Open Source Backup Conference, and we had issues with that. I never had issues with Lipvirt, but most of the students were using VirtualBox and that had problems with the alias names of your interfaces. But if you add this to the kernel options, then it goes away. So you see backup URL. Okay, it's done. Backup was successful, it says. Okay, the backup client area will be on the Pixie boot area will be made readable. I'm halting the client virtual machine now and starting the recovery machine. I'm using another box, which is an empty box. Again, it's the same Vagrant is driving the complete stuff, and now this is VirtualBox taking over. You will see it's Pixie booting, so it's really live booting, no cheating. It will, because it's VirtualBox, the first network will not work, but this one, the second one, will respond. And then it will load automatically your kernel and your initial RAM disk, your rescue image from Relax and Recover. It will boot it up. You can see it will reconfigure the network up. And it's already starting with reformatting your internal disk, so your disk layout. And automatically, the restore of your data or operating system will be restored automatically. That goes quite quickly. Afterwards, you will also see that it will rebuild the kernels. Not the kernel, of course, but the initial RAM disk, because it's another size of disk. So it has to see It's another box. That means internally it's another system. So it's what I'm doing here is effect kind of cloning. I'm cloning the client on another fresh hardware. And you can see it here. For every version of your kernel, it will rebuild your initial RAM disk of that operating system, the client in this case, which is rebuilt on another system. You will see it at least twice. And that takes longer effect almost than the restore of your OS. Once that is done, you will notice that the system will reboot. And, well, then we hope, of course, if the relax and recover does not contain any bugs, that it will come up automatically. So here is the rebooting in 30 seconds. That's also something done by relax and recover. So that's a timing that I can make shorter or longer, even zero, but okay. It's always nice if you see an error that you can interrupt and check your restored environment. Okay, 30 seconds takes some time. Okay, stopping automatically the system and it will restart. You will see automatically that again it will pixie boot, that the pixie boot configuration was automatically changed, that it will boot from the first internal disk, not from the ISO or network anymore. So that's all done automatically in the background. And here it is booting up your client system. Takes a few seconds and whoops, there is the prompt. You can just log in with Vagrant as password and voila, the client is there. I recovered the client VM on the recover VM. I had to do nothing except running the script. And I can do that every day and can do it for different backup solutions for backup. For the moment, it's only BarriOS, but I can do the same thing for BarriOS on CentOS 7, Ubuntu 14, Ubuntu 16. And whatever is missing can be added, of course, but preferably by sponsoring. That was my main talk. The slides that will be provided contain effect and summary of the complete recovery steps made by the script, and also the pointers to the main site, etc., etc. So, are there any questions so far? Because this is was the my talk effect. Thank you. No questions? Yes.
I have a slightly related topic. You're also offering the reader recovery CD image downloading.
Yeah.
So, what is the effort of maintaining this? You know, because there are new kernel versions, blah blah blah, and that thing. So.
How
much effort goes into this?
A lot of effort. You can see here. This is the issues. There are, in general, around 70, 80 issues open all the time. And we are working with, let's say, three people, not full time, but in our spare times. And also, like the person from SUSE is almost working 80% of his daytime. And the guy from IBM is working, let's say, 40, sometimes 50% of his daytime on cases. Because like I said in my talk, IBM is hot these days for the SAP HANA environment on PPC environments. The customers are requesting it, that there is a decent relax and recover solution for it, or a disaster recovery solution, I must say. And therefore, they put a lot of effort to test it on their platform, of course.
Yeah, but not only those issues that you fix them, but it's also, it's like a moving baseline.
I know.
And
I know.
When do you, how do you keep up with this? Is this somehow automatic also? That or
no, no.
Take a lot of manual effort as well.
2 minutes? Okay, so the question was how do we keep up with the rolling new features that are coming from operating systems, from new versions, etc., etc. Indeed, that's a very intensive labor. That's I'm using to do that for 10 years. Every new time there's, for example, Ubuntu, from going 14 to 16 major version, they were split up from ISO Linux into Pixie Linux and USB Linux and stuff like that. all these packets dependencies were different namings. So you have to foresee that. And that is, well, normally, in most cases when there is a new version, we ask that the community, the common users like yourself, are testing it. And a lot of feedback are coming from guys like you that make issues and said, okay, we have tested in Mint something, and it fails for that and that reason. And then we ask, show me the log files, because Rear has an excellent log basis, and we can find a common solution for it. That takes time. We do have customers who have a support contract. It goes much faster, of course, because we are paid to do that. I'm working for customers who are renting me for maintaining their relax and recover basis, which is for 10,000 systems, making the engineering, and that goes better. But okay, it's going so fast, it's not easy to maintain everything, and sometimes it takes months to get something fixed. Yeah. But the main basis, let's say, for the main versions of Linux, being less Red Hat, Ubuntu, Debian, is working fine. But okay.
Maybe another question, because I mean, I really will try this out, and I really love it that the whole service, you know, that you have backup and recover, and I mean, nobody wants backup. I mean, backup is, everybody wants recover. Everybody wants to be able to recover. I mean, you don't care about backup. I mean, you need to do it, but you want to be able to recover. That's and it's really important that you know that it works. And now, I mean, the POSIX subsystem in Windows is getting hopefully not better, mesh, super and blah, blah. Do you have any intention, maybe, I mean, there is basically really no such thing in Windows. I mean, so is there any chance that this could someday also backup and recover a Windows system?
Oh, the question is, can relax and recover backup a Windows system? The question is yes. Only on laptops that contain the Linux system. It's called backup equals block clone. That's written by one of our colleagues, the Vlad from HPE from Slovenia. He wrote it and it's working fine. Yeah. But okay, it's not real, will never work natively on Windows, I think. It's a Linux software. And it's running on a broad version of Linux, different kind of OSs, different kind of hardware. We love to see the Arch 64 hardware to be incorporated, because we got already questions from Red Hat and asked them, okay, can we have some sponsoring from you? And it goes quiet. So it's always a struggle between doing it for free and doing, because if I were for Rear, I cannot be paid for other projects. But I love to work for Rear. Yeah, another question?
You said Rear is all the interconnection of bash scripts. So why does the hardware come into play at all?
Well, the question is, Rear is written in bash. Why is the differentiations in the different hardware required? Well, the question is very easy. Different hardware is using different boot technology. The PPC environment is using at least two different boot technologies, the YaBoot and Lilo. Within the Intel, you have the old legacy BIOS way of booting that can be used, GRIP2, Lilo, and GRIPI these days, or UEFI. That's using a different kind of boot, GRIP2 most of the times. But even within UEFI, there are different boot technologies. So the way of booting within that area is different. So all these things are already inside Rear, and that is a moving duck effect. So it's new technology is added. We are always coming after the facts. Well, most of the times, but okay, it's only a matter of time that it's get integrated. And that's why there are different, in Rear you will see different tracks for different hardware technologies. Okay, if there are no more questions, I thank you for your time and for your interesting questions. Have a nice day. Thank you.